Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Patrick Murphy, superintendent of the Mount Olive School District. Welcome to the show, Superintendent Murphy.
Thank you.
Well, we had a chance last year to visit on education and COVID-19, and that was when it was new. And well, today we're going to discuss, the resurgence of COVID-19, and last year's schools were rushed into remote learning, and a great deal was learned from that particular situation, and then school boards made contingency plans for the upcoming school year, which we're now into, and I don't think anybody wanted to really think there would be a big resurgence, and maybe remote learning would have to be back in place, but there were efforts to be prepared, and now we've reached that point. The drastic increase in COVID-19 cases in Macoupin and the state overall. What are you seeing now as far as the school level?
You stated it right on the nose. There's been a drastic increase in this recent weeks with our county as well as the state. Yesterday's results, we have 79 new cases in Macoupin County yesterday, 64 the day before, 53. You know, we thought 5 and 6 were a lot back in the spring, and now we're at 50, 60, and 70. So we're really starting to get into the thick of this with the COVID, and it's where we're seeing it. We're seeing it twofold. It's number one is a lot of the parents are getting it from their workplaces and stuff like that, and we now have to quarantine the students because a parent's sick and we don't want them bringing it into the school. So I know the Macoupin County Health Department has been working very hard with contact tracing to try to keep kids who have been exposed or anyone who's been exposed away from others so we can continue to operate.
With it being education, you have the Illinois State Board of Education and other entities that work with educators across the state in various matters, and not just, say, Mount Olive School District, but what are you hearing, say, from higher-ups or other entities about what they think about this resurgence or what is going to happen, say, in the next few weeks and then moving forward?
Sadly, and I'll put this level, we're not hearing much at the state level. I don't know if it's a political issue or what's going on, but the bottom line is they've left school districts to this point to local control. We have not gotten direction from the State Board of Education, from the governor's office, from the health department. You know, I would love to see a metrics in place when our health rate goes to this point that our schools then required to go to a different level of learning. I've read where some collar counties in Chicago area have set such a metrics. So in case the numbers get too high, we could then go to a different form. But by just leaving it up to local control, it puts a lot of pressure on our school districts because we understand that everyone wants the best form of education is face-to-face learning, and we're all trying our best to provide that, but at what risk to the health of our children, to our communities? And that's a very tough question that we're now facing.
Now, with that in mind, we also know that there's other important aspects of school, be it sports, band, other extracurricular activities, and that seems to have entered into the confusion question here, even more recently, with things like basketball and things like that, and the IHSA putting out a certain, I guess you would call it dictum or something, well, you can do this as far as high school, and then the state saying no. Is that also becoming a problem as far as competing factions, shall we say?
It's a very large problem. It's a huge problem that school districts are facing when we have different bodies and organizations trying to make rules that they should not be putting in place. The Illinois Department of Public Health put basketball at a high risk, which in itself it could be a debatable thing. But yet now then the IHSA turns right around and tells schools not to follow that rule and to start basketball. They want us to start basketball on November 16th. And it puts school districts, because I have seven school board members who all have different opinions on this issue, and as each school district has, and it puts us all into a very difficult position when we're debating on what we should be doing, what's best for the safety of our children and our schools and our communities, where yet these items should be coming in my opinion, from the Illinois Department of Health and the governor's office. But yet, it's when we get conflicting reports like this, it puts everyone in a very difficult position. I'm glad to report that the IHSA has retracted that a little bit, and they've held off, and they're now having a meeting with the Illinois Department of Public Health and the governor's office on November 19th, so they've told schools not to proceed at this time.
The big, issue brought in the word legal liability, and gosh knows every school board is dealing with all types of topics, and legal liability is always important. Is this something that is growing as well with COVID because of all the different things that can come in and this or that and can affect the legal situation?
Absolutely. It's one of the another area that we're constantly dealing with is, number one is, what would, God forbid, a child were to get sick and then actually and to die from COVID, who would be liable? Would, you know, the question becomes, is the school district liable because we had face-to-face instruction? If they contact traced it and it came from through the school is what gave it to the child, would the school district be held liable? It gets bigger and more difficult when you start talking, when the IHSA wants to go directly against the Illinois Department of Public Health. God forbid if a basketball player were to get sick and get seriously ill or to die. Now, if you willfully break the law that was put in place, such as in the Illinois Department of Public Health ruling, if you willfully do that, could you personally be held liable? That would mean, could the school district be held liable? Could the superintendent be held liable? Could the school board members be held liable for not following the rules of the Illinois Department of Public Health? So liability is a huge concern right now in public schools dealing with the COVID issue.
Talking about COVID, the resurgence we're seeing now, some school districts we know here just in the past week went to remote learning for a week, and then they were going to review whether they would go back to in-person learning or remain at remote. I'm sure you are considering the same as well as other school districts. Where do we stand now as far as the thinking, one, Mount Olive, and what you might be hearing?
In Mount Olive, continuously monitoring the numbers. We right now have over 35 students who are quarantined. And you say, well, 35 students out of our 450 total. So we're approximately 10% of our student body is being quarantined. And we've been very fortunate here at Mount Olive. We've not had many students, and to the total of, we've had only one student to today has gotten sick from COVID. That could change. You know, we're having six or seven students tested today or tomorrow, you know, been tested this week. So that can absolutely change. But we've had a lot of kids who are being quarantined because their parents have gotten sick, you know, because someone in their household has gotten sick. And so we're constantly dealing with that issue. What point, and that becomes the challenge when we get no guidance from the State Board of Education, from the Macoupin County Health Department, which, by the way, and I'm not speaking bad about the Macoupin County Health Department, they've done a wonderful job of working with us to contact trace and do all the things we're supposed to do, but we're not receiving any guidance of when, what the guidance of the state would believe when a school should shut down, so it's leaving it up to the local school districts. It's a very difficult process. I've spoken with the superintendents around the county on numerous occasions, and we're constantly talking about when we should or should not, but as you have stated earlier, there's a lot of people in all our communities that know that education, face-to-face instruction for their children is absolutely a vital part of learning for their children. And so they do not want us to go to remote learning unless we absolutely have to. So it's a constant struggle that we're working to try to find a middle ground to. As the numbers go up, though, it's absolutely going to become more and more of a factor where we may have to go to remote learning or some other form of instead of face-to-face, because as the metric goes up here, the Macoupin County, and we Mount Olive being in Macoupin County, when that rate goes from 7.5 to 15, the rate, because of all these numbers we're currently have to, we're going to have to revisit that.
We're talking about what's going on sort of right now or in the next few weeks, up through, say, the Thanksgiving holiday and things like that. And there's big questions now, obviously much bigger questions. But the thing to think about is second half of the school year is, well, we'll be approaching very soon. What are you as an administrator or school boards doing to go, okay, here's where we're at now. We're seeing this. And with COVID, you never know what exactly is coming. What are you doing to think about the second half as that's when we actually experienced it in the past school year?
And I agree that if you look at this for the future, which none of us know the future, so we're making a prediction, but if you look at it, we may be in for a tougher time in this winter than we are currently sitting in right now or 3 months ago. And if that's the case, it's going to be a very dark winter for us and a very difficult winter for us as far as educating children. The light at the end of the tunnel is the vaccine or vaccines that are coming out. If we can get these vaccines out to our, I know it'll start with the essential workers and the people in most need, but if these come out in some sort of manner, timely manner, by maybe by this spring, we could have vaccines available to children. And once they've had the vaccine, would be immune to the sickness, and then we could start coming back and doing those things. But I am very worried about between now and Thanksgiving to Christmas in January and February. This is a time where all predictions show that this is only going to go up. We're going to have to make some drastic changes in order to slow this rate, or we're just going to have, the sickness is going to spread beyond control.
You mentioned the vaccine, and that was a question I was thinking about. The vaccine, as you say, even if we do get one approved that, quote, is supposed to be safe, it probably would be very sketchy if it's going to be distributed enough, as you say, even for the last half of the school year. Is that what you were saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying. I wish it would be sooner, but the science shows, and the news that's coming out is stating that if we're fortunate, it'll be here by the spring, maybe more the summer. It's going to be just one of those things that we have to work through. You know, if the school district, if we have to go remote, we may try to provide summer school opportunities to kids if we do get to the light at the end of the tunnel, to try to make up for some of the lost time or the lost education that our children are not receiving. But again, we have to make sure our children are safe and our communities are safe and healthy before, you know, it's ways with before just educating children, because we cannot lose children or adults or our teachers through this sickness to make sure all kids get educated.
In general, all educators are trying to do the best they can in this pandemic era and give the best education you can. But in the real world, would you say that, say, some of the children from last school year who even graduated, or those who were in this last school year and are now going through it again, do you think they really probably, in a way, will end up lacking a little bit in their educational experience because of this is just, there's no way you can say this is even close to normal?
It's a good question, and data will prove that out one way or the other in the future. We do standardized testing. You know, we do MAP testing, Illinois Assessment of Readiness testing, the SAT scores for our grad, you know, our juniors and seniors take these scores. And that data will show in the next few years of how this pandemic is relating to an overall child's education. You would guess, as an educator, I would make an educated guess to believe that, yes, it will be affected to a point, you know, where our school days had to be shortened. We went 3 months in the fall with fully remote learning, but the teachers are doing a wonderful job. We're staying on curriculum. We're trying to focus on the English and language arts and the mathematics, and trying to keep working our students the best they can. I'm very proud of the Mount Olive Education staff, who've done an outstanding job, in my opinion. You know, we've made it now 12 weeks of face-to-face instruction, with over 90% of our student body have been here within our schools getting face-to-face instruction. So I'm hopeful that those dips, as you stated, or lows, will be minimal and not very large.
Superintendent Patrick Murphy, thank you for joining us on the forum this weekend.
Thank you so much.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.